Today's message is going to be titled, Never Lose Hope in the Promise of God, Part 2. I know that the last message that the Lord had me deliver to us was never lose hope in the promise of God. We're going to use that again today because as I meditated on the word, this was just what the Lord said should be the message for today, the title. Now, I want to start with a little bit of an intro. And I know that as I speak, you, everyone here seated will hear directly from the throne of grace. You will hear the word of God, and you will not hear my voice in the name of Jesus. Because as I stand before you, I do not know anything. But I'm asking that the Lord use me as a vessel honorable for this assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, the little intro. We remember that in the Bible, God made a promise and a covenant with Abraham in the book of Genesis. But I want to put a shine on Genesis 15, verse 16, when God told Abraham, but in the fourth generation, then this shall come hither. This shall come either. Give me a second. My Bible wants to move away from me. They shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Then when we go straight towards the end of the book of Genesis, we know that God used Joseph through Joseph, the children of Israel eventually migrated to Egypt to escape the situation. Now when we fast forward to the book of Exodus, starting from chapter 1. The Bible tells us that there was a new king in Egypt, a Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph. So in other words, he did not know anything about how the children of Israel migrated to Egypt. All he saw was a multitude of people who he felt was eventually going to take over Egypt. And so, he became an agent of Satan, the agent of the devil. But what, let me say, tell you here, because when I was meditating on this word, the Lord told me that this is how the devil thought he could maneuver the events around Jesus Christ when he was alive. But what he did not know was whether he was voluntarily doing it or involuntarily doing it, but he was actually satisfying a promise that had already gone forth. God made a covenant with Abraham. He said the fourth generation. So it was towards the fourth generation that this Pharaoh came up. Now, this is also something that I also wanted to bring to bear as parents. It is very dangerous when we neglect to transfer the wonderful works of God in our lives to our children. When we don't impart it into them, we let them go out and become vagabonds. When we do not impart what we need to, it becomes a destructive mistake in our paths. And may that not be the portion of our children. If I let that not be our portion, not to talk of our children in the name of Jesus. Because this became evil because he did not know about the good works that of a man called Joseph, who God used to preserve their land. So in his own mind, he was great. They were great. They did not need any other God. Understand that in these days, Egypt had other... I don't like using the word God for them. But they had images. They had several other images. Osiris, all sorts that they worshipped. God of the moon, God of the star. In fact, Pharaoh himself was considered a god. So this is the land that we're talking about. This Pharaoh came on the throne. He did not know about Joseph. And so because he did not know about Joseph, he looked at maybe he had a meeting with his ministers and said, these people are becoming too much. If we are not careful, they are going to side with their enemy, our enemies, and then they're going to fight against us. So fear was already a prompter for this Pharaoh. So the Bible tells us that in the book of Exodus chapter 1, from verse 15, 17, and 19, how God thwarted the initial evil plan of Pharaoh. He wanted that every male child that was born at that particular period, the first plan was to kill them. So he asked the midwives to come in, and that any woman who's had a baby, if it's a male baby, you have to kill it. If it's a female baby, let them be alive. I don't know how else one can describe evil but that. You see a little baby that had just come out, and then the first thing you say is, kill that baby. That's number one. Now, the Lord says that the Bible tells us that there will always be remnants. Hallelujah. Now, the remnants in this particular period were those Hebrew women. Examples of them were Shifra and Pua. They refused to carry out that evil plan because they had respect for human lives, but the most respect they had was they feared God. Now, how can you fear what you do not know? These women knew that there was a living God, and there is absolutely no way they could carry out the evil assignment by an evil king. So they devised in their heart that they were not going to do this to these children. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15, 17, and 19, how they came back to Pharaoh when Pharaoh asked them, why am I still seeing little boys running all over the place? And then the Hebrew midwife said, because these Hebrew women, before we get there, they already had their babies. In fact, they are more active than all the Egyptian women. Now, whether or not that is a fact, it was enough for the Pharaoh to look for a plan B. That if these women are going to be on the Lord's side, I better look for somebody else to be on my side. So he now devised a plan that all the people, it became a double wahala situation. Excuse my grammar. It became a double trouble for the children of Israel. Because now it is all the people that have been told, if you see a Hebrew woman give birth to a baby boy, throw the baby into the Nile. So it was come one, come all. It was a free for all. Evil reigning in the society. Now I can almost liken that to the society we live in now. There is just so much going on, so much evil pervading our generation right now. Sometimes it feels like there is more evil now than it was when I was growing up. It feels like the internet has even introduced much more havoc and super. In fact, the evil has catapulted to astronomical heights. Just this last week, an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old opened fire on their classmates in a Colorado high school. Why? You begin to wonder what is going on in the minds of these children. And then I realized that this becomes much more important for us as parents to instill what we have in our children. And when I say what we have, you cannot instill what you do not have. If you don't have it, you cannot instill it. So my question will be, what kind of home did these children come from? What kind of society did they grow up in? This is the same society that our own children are growing up in. They're going to be in class with these same people. But the Lord that has preserved them thus far, he will continually preserve them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm saying here that regardless of their situation, the Lord will cause them to rise above in the name of Jesus. So if you are not a concerned parent, let your amen be very silent. But if you are a concerned parent like myself, let your amen thunder. Amen. Now, because that Pharaoh's evil plan did not work out, now we're going to go to the main text of the message for today. I'm taking my main text for today from the book of Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1 to 10. The Bible says, come to me. In the book of Matthew 11, 28, all those who labor, this was Jesus talking, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These people, I'm going to tell us about the parents who sought God, and God gave them rest. So, Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went, and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what will be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for him from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. I want us to also go to Numbers chapter 26, verse 59. Numbers 26, verse 59 says, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. Amen. Father, breathe upon your word. Now, let's look at the accounts, the amazing accounts from this, from especially Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1. Anyone that says that there is no God is a big fool. Amen. Now, these are the amazing facts that I got from this from these 10 verses. And I ask that you please pay attention. First and foremost, there was a man. We can tell that from the reason why I also reread Numbers chapter 26, verse 15, so that you can have names attached to the characters in Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1 through to 10 that we just read. The name of the man in question who took the wife from the Levite tribe was Amram. The name of his wife was Jochebed. Now, I know a lot of people do not know that Moses' mother was Jochebed. Her name actually also means Jehovah be glorified. Her name means Jehovah be glorified. When I actually found out that was what her name is, I said to myself, between Toby and Tammy, whoever gives me the first granddaughter will be called Jochebed. Because that is an awesome name. You go around and her name is God be glorified. And we will see how indeed God was glorified in the lives of this man and this woman. I want us to first of all picture the time when this couple were born. They were born into a time of slavery, into the time of dejection. they probably did not have an actual identity. Going around living as slaves, their identity became that of a slave because they did not know anything else. So the Bible tells us that Moses was conceived and he was born during the time of the evil Pharaoh who wanted him dead. Now, if you do not see the humor in that Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1, you need to go back home and study it again. Our God is a master planner. He's an eternal master planner. That means that even when the situation seems as hopeless as possible, I'm telling you that God is still in control. If you do not believe that, if you do not believe anything else, please go home with this. Let this be an assurance in your heart. Let it be settled in your heart that regardless of that situation, it doesn't matter how hopeless it is, God is still in control. Amram and Jochebed were born in a time where there was slavery. She had two children before Moses. This was a time where there was no ultrasound. She did not know whether she was going to bear a man, a son, or a daughter. So imagine, when I read that part, I had to pause a little bit. And imagine myself when I was pregnant. You find out that you are pregnant at the time where there was no such thing as a pregnancy test. You are either pregnant or you are not. There were no ultrasounds. So what does that mean? You do not know whether you are carrying a boy or you are carrying a girl. You step out of your house. You hear sorrow, dejection, people wailing. Somebody's child has just been killed. A mother just lost a son. Maybe this was her first child. This innocent child had either been thrown into the river or just killed. Why? Because of the wickedness of a man who just decided that the only way to weaken God's people was to weaken their strength. The devil is a liar. You as a pregnant woman, you step out. All you see people crying, families distraught, babies, the blood of babies all over the place. Women who just had babies, you haven't healed. You are still you are still in pain. Oh, and then your baby is killed. Jochebed was walking around in a time of dejection. It was a totally hopeless situation. I can imagine that this woman, she was a daughter of Levi. Parents, pregnant women in this house, those who have parents with children, it doesn't matter how old this child is. It doesn't matter how old you just found out that you're pregnant yesterday. Lay your hands on your womb. Prophesy life into your baby. Prophesy life that this child will live and not die. Prophesy that this child will grow up even in a hateful society and be a shining light in their generation. I want to believe that this was what Jochebed did when she was pregnant. She saw everything that was going on. How do you not see people wailing? How do you not hear that somebody's baby just cried, just died? So in the middle of the night, you hear a baby crying, and the next thing you hear mothers crying, fathers dejected, everybody strewn, blood all over the place. It was a hopeless situation. But yet, she made a decision in her heart that this, my own baby, was going to live. She made a decision in her heart that no matter what the evil Pharaoh is saying, my child is not going to die. It doesn't matter. She made a decision in her heart, in her spirit, man. Oh, from out of the abundance of the heart, the spirit speaketh. This woman must have said that I am very sorry for you, that what happened to you and your family. But in my heart, she must have said in her heart that my own baby was going to live. Whatever it takes, as long as God is going to be glorified in my life, this baby will live. I may not know how, I may not know what to do. I may not have that wisdom, but the God that gives wisdom to whom we ask liberally, this God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will listen to my heart's cry and he will save my baby. This woman had to have been pregnant. She had to have made that decision while she was pregnant, not knowing whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. The Bible tells us that after she had the baby, she saw that this baby was a beautiful child. Now, everywhere they talk about baby Moses in the Bible, and even in the book of Acts, this record is that of a beautiful baby. So it wasn't just because, you know, sometimes as mothers, when we have our babies and we say, oh, my baby is the most beautiful baby. This was not just the case here. It was God, even God, in Stephen's account, Moses was pleasing unto God. And I have to say, and I'm very sorry, but I have to say that for the fact that God chose Moses, his parents had to have played a very important role. They must have prayed and declared over the baby that this baby will be used by the Lord. We are in the fourth generation. Father, this is the baby that you must use. Do not give this baby any opportunity. So when this baby came out, it was a boy. A beautiful boy. The Bible tells us that she hid the baby for 3 months. Beloved, how do you hide a baby, a newborn baby, for 3 months? How? That the baby did not cry. Somebody heard the baby cry? Can somebody, maybe my own children are very different then. But how do you hide a baby, a newborn, for 3 months? Because a baby communicates by crying. They are hungry, they cry. They are wet, they cry. They are grumpy, they cry. It doesn't matter what it is, they want to talk, they cry. So how do you hide a baby for 3 months? Except by the grace of God. Somehow God secluded this baby, that nobody heard this baby cry for 3 months. And then when she realized that, oh, this child is growing, it's time for me. What else can I do? I must save my baby's life. Father, help me. Give me the wisdom. The Bible says she took the baby. She decided that it was time to just take the baby out a little bit. Maybe it was time for her to go back to work. Who knows? But she built an ark. It was a system. I feel that this is a very, very intelligent woman. She was a very, very intelligent woman. She not only built the ark for the baby, she made sure that the ark was lined such that when she put the baby on the river bank, the water would not come into the baby's ark, and she covered it. And then she had her big sister, his big sister Miriam, watch over the baby. I paused a little here and I said, as parents, I'm going to use myself as an example. When our children go to school, Toby and Tammy, they must get anointed. Before they go, I pronounce to them, I say that the Holy Spirit is with you. So in this case, I believe that Miriam was like the Holy Spirit. She was like the angel watching over this baby. The baby was on the reed by the riverbank. I had to even Google the picture of a reed to have a better, clearer understanding as where Jochebed placed the baby. And before I go on, I want to say that she could not have done this alone. She had to have had the support of her husband. So I don't know if anybody wants to tell me that she acted by herself. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because she needed her husband's support as well to be able to carry out the plan and the act of saving their baby. After all, she did not have this baby by herself. Hallelujah. The only baby we know in the Bible that did not need an earthly father was Jesus. Hallelujah. So with Amram's support, because somebody had to work, somebody had to cover for her while she took care of this baby for 3 months. And then the Bible tells her that in the third month, she took the baby to the river and then she placed him by the reed and had his sister watch over him. God is amazing. It was at that time, whether by divine orchestration, because I've heard different accounts, or by divine coincidence, the same time when this child was there, who knows for how long, maybe there was when Pharaoh's daughter, this was the part that made me laugh, the same Pharaoh that wanted this baby dead, brethren, the enemy of this baby's soul, his daughter, Harabas, came to the riverbank. She saw the ark. Beloved, this baby wasn't even crying when she saw the ark. God had to have pointed her, her attention to that ark. So what am I saying today? Let me prophesy into somebody's life this morning. And I'm prophesying into my life as well. That it doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the enemy wants to do. It doesn't matter what they sit and devise in their heart. The Lord will use them. And he will use them for our good in the name of Jesus. In fact, the worst part is that they won't even know that they are being used. Oh, the Lord will cause them, even if it's just 1 minute of madness, that the Lord will cause them to have compassion. The Bible tells us that Pharaoh's daughter had compassion when she saw the baby. This is nothing but the favor of God. May the favor of God not lack in our lives in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody is not you are not understanding what I am saying this morning. I'm talking about the kind of favor that will make you step into a place that you are not qualified to occupy. But the favor of God will say, this is the person I want. The favor of God will cause them to have compassion over us in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I receive it. Oh, Pharaoh's daughter had compassion over this baby. And immediately, his sister came. Should I look for an Hebrew woman? Why not an Egyptian woman? It's bad enough that when she carried this baby out of the ark, she realized that it was a Hebrew baby. Unless she did not know that her father had sent out an evil decree against the Hebrew children. And this child that she was carrying obviously fits the category of the children that were meant to have been killed. How come she did not throw that child into the river Nile? God favor. Hallelujah. It was a God-filled favor. She had compassion. And when the sister came, the sister, nosy, should I look for someone to nurse this baby? Who asked you? But Pharaoh's daughter said, go. Isn't that amazing? Is that not amazing that this Pharaoh did not ask, who are you? Who asked you a question? She just immediately agreed, go. She said she did not go look for an Egyptian nursemaid. She went to look for a Hebrew nursemaid. And God orchestrated that it was Miriam who went to get her mother to come back and take this child. Do you understand what it is to nurse, to think that your baby, it is a hopeless situation, you let the baby go, and then somebody comes and calls, I need you to do this for me. And lo and behold, it was that thing that she let go of, that the Lord said, come, no, I'm going to pay you to take care of this. God orchestrated and arranged it, that I will pay you. She was being paid to take care of her baby. Apart from the divine covering, she also had a royal covering. At that point, she and baby Moses, she hadn't called him Moses at the time, but she and her son had a royal covering. That means that if they see her carrying the baby on the street and they go, Jochebed, how come you have a baby? Go and ask the Pharaoh's daughter. That is all the covering she needed. Not only was she also being paid to take care of her own child. Now, we do not know how long she took care of the child for, but something here that it was so profound, that this is like the crux of today's message for me. As parents, a lot of us have more time in our hands with our children by the grace of God than Jochebed and Amram did. I want to submit to you that Moses had to have spent more time with Jochebed than she did with Amram as well. How do I know this? Jochebed was the baby's nursemaid. So she had to have nursed the baby. She took care of the baby, changed him, fed him. She was being paid. So she did not even have to go out to the field. She did not have to labor, or she did not have to slave for it. All she needed was, okay, so I need more clothes for the boy. Go and tell the princess. Oh, how many clothes does she need? Go and give her as many as she needs. Give her, I'm going to have to use today's, you know, what happens in our society. Bring diapers for her. Bring baby wipes. Or everything in excess of good quality. Because we're talking about the princess of the land. So they had wealth. What can the Pharaoh ask for and not get? If you understand Egyptian history, this was a land that was thriving with gold. It was precious stone. I mean, they did not lack for anything. Quote unquote. So everything that she needed was readily accessible to her. Why? Because she had a direct access to the throne. But what I want to say here is that I submit to you that she spent all that time imparting on baby Moses. That it doesn't matter what other gods they're going to introduce you to. It doesn't matter the philosophies that they're going to tell you. It doesn't matter what they tell you that you are. You are first and foremost a child of a living God. That means that she became a song for her. For her, to this child. Oh, you will grow up and you will fulfill destiny. It doesn't matter where you are, you will fulfill destiny. I am telling you right now that maybe she doesn't know that I am your blood mother, but as the blood, I am going to give you the blessing from the womb. You will fulfill destiny. It doesn't matter what they teach you about their Egyptian laws, Egyptian culture. They can introduce all the gods that they want to introduce to you, but the only God that you will accept is the living God, the God of Israel. And through you, God will do miraculous things. Through you, you will deliver the children. You will not forget this. It doesn't matter what they tell you, because when we go back to the book of Acts, we'll see that Moses was raised up in the splendor and in the knowledge of the Egyptian culture. He was raised as the daughter, as the son of Pharaoh's princess. But the Bible accounts that he refused to go by that title. Why? Because Jochebed took advantage of the time that this child was with her. Like I was saying, we may have more time than Jochebed had with Moses. But I am telling you that this now is the time to always instill in these children what their identity is. Because it is very easy for them to go out. I just heard there was a young preacher that was but he was giving an account of how he went to the university. You would think that being in theology, the professors will understand about Christ and the centered teaching. Well, they don't all. This young man said that the professors did everything in their power to undermine the living God. They deliberately preached and introduced doctrines against the living God. Just the other day, my daughter was telling me how she was playing with her friend. And the girl used the word lock. And she corrected her immediately. No, you'd never say lock. You say favor. This is something that I have been introducing and I've been instilling in these children, in my children, because they don't have a choice. Because they came from my womb, they do not have a choice. I've always told them that you will serve God. You will serve God. I can just imagine that when she was going to hand over her baby back to the princess, the fear in her heart and the uncertainty that this child was going to, number one, this child was named by an Egyptian, Moses, because she drew him out of the water. God used an Egyptian named Israelite to deliver his people. And you're saying God doesn't have a sense of humor? God has a tremendous sense of humor. And I'm here to also tell you today that it doesn't matter what the situation is. In fact, I heard recently from a study that for whatever reasons, when children grow to a certain age in their 20s, they almost want to deviate from their early teachings. But when they go back into their 30s, they want to come back to church. And I said that may be true. Because really, when Moses went back into Pharaoh's palace, he was taught all the doctrines of the Egyptians. But when you go back to chapter 2 and verse 11, can we just quickly look at chapter 2 and verse 11? So, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, when he went out to his brethren. How did he know that those were his brethren? How? The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13 that our children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that train up a child in the way he should go so that when he grows up, he will not depart from it. This right here, Moses' life, Aaron's life, Miriam's life is a testimony of the importance that we have as parents to instill God, the life of Christ, into our children. But it doesn't stop there. I ask that if there's any parent or parent to be in the house this morning, and you know for a surety that your life is not right with Christ, can you lower your head and ask that the Lord will have mercy on you. Let today be that day that you want to do a turnaround. And ask that the blood of Jesus begin to wash away every one of our sins. Every sin of omission, every sin of offense, every offense we have committed against our Lord, every offense that we may have knowingly or unknowingly committed, let's ask that the Lord begin to have mercy upon us, that his mercy will begin to flow through us, even like a flood, that the blood will make us clean as we approach the throne of mercy in the name of Jesus, so that we will be like parents like Amram and Jochebed, so that when we have the opportunity that we have, we will instill God into our children. We will instill Jesus into our children so that when they go out, regardless of what they make, whatever the situation is, regardless of what they meet, regardless of what they are told, regardless of what the media is exposing them to, regardless of what the internet is exposing them to, that Jesus will be the hope of their glory in the name of Jesus. Father, we have prayed. And Father, we bless your holy name. To the only God who will not share his glory with anyone, to you, our God, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion and power, now and forever, in Jesus' mighty name. Can we give the Lord a clap offering this morning? If you have been blessed, hallelujah. Why don't you give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.